He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And the market is a little bit mixed up here today. We've got some weakness. Here today, and S&P is up 0%. We've got the NASDAQ up 20. That's at 12,191. Caps are up 7 points, and crude oil up 84 cents by yesterday. And the 10-year rate now is up 4 basis points to 3.49%. So to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee today, broadcasting remotely. And I think, do we have Barry with us today there?
Yeah.
Greg,
here, Bill.
Hey,
I'm here,
Barry.
Bill, and if we've got some connectivity issues, we'll work those out along the way. But we saw we had, of course, some banking, big banking reports out this morning that came in strong from those big banks, particularly J.P. Morgan. And I don't know if that's going to be they may be the winners from the smaller regional banks in terms of assets flooding, leaving them and going to your bigger banks like J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo.
Yeah, and I think it's really encouraging here. This is the start of earnings season, really, today, the official start. And it was good across the board. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, PNC Financial. We'll get to those here a little bit later in the show. But that would be up pretty sharply were it not for Boeing. Temporary glitch in backlog on some parts, from a company by the name of Spirit AeroSystems. And the last time I looked, Boeing was down about 6 or 7%, and that's weighing on the Dow today. But I saw some pretty good strength in NVIDIA and AMD. And a few others out there. But let's talk about yesterday first. I knew when I saw that PPI come in yesterday, negative. No, not any inflation at all. In fact, disinflation. And the market kind of didn't really react that well. But as I looked underneath the surface of the market, I said, I think it's going to finish strong today. And, boy, it really took off throughout the day. The Dow ended up 383 points yesterday. The S&P 500 was up 54 points. And the NASDAQ was up 237 points yesterday. You've got a great combination right now for the NASDAQ with the Fed kind of out of the way, inflation cooling, and interest rates remaining very low. So that's a good recipe for growth stocks. And that's exactly what we predicted about 5 months ago, sometime in the middle, end of December. And it is growth stocks that are leading the way here so far in 2023. Oil's gotten a big boost here recently with the OPEC cut. And oil's up $20 per barrel just over the last few weeks. And, that last domino to drop, we felt had to be the jobs market had to weaken. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, the jobs market has softened up. And, that's a good recipe right now for the market. Yeah, what did the jobs claims? They rose yesterday.
Yeah, the claims, claims came over, actually came in higher than consensus or expected, which, you know, I can't tell you the last time that the claims actually came in more than expected. So it was jobless claims were up 11,000 to 239,000 yesterday, and it was expected, I think, around 233 was the consensus number. So that's, at least from an inflation front, when you combine the PPI, the initial jobless claims number coming in a little higher than expected, both of those yesterday, and even saw where, as you were mentioning, rates coming down, even mortgage rates have decreased for five consecutive weeks. So you're seeing, as we've said, more firming up and softening of those inflation numbers. Doesn't mean things aren't still expensive, but you're really getting some of those numbers to at least flatten out. So,
well, $98 for a day pass to Dollywood here in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
So that is what that runs now.
That's the theme park index, and $5.75 for a cinnamon roll from the bakery at Dollywood. Other than that, no inflation, you know. Okay, Europe markets, they were happy. They're seeing an end to the U.S. rate hike cycle, and that's exactly what we saw in late December. We could start to see light at the end of that tunnel, the rate hike tunnel that took 35% out of the NASDAQ last year. That took a big bite out of long-term treasuries last year, enough of a bite to be a big part of bringing a bank down in just a few days, Silicon Valley Bank. But now, you know what? You know the saying, the Fed is your friend. Don't go against the Fed. And now you've got the Fed at your back, the wind at your back. Not that they're lowering rates. I don't expect any cuts this year. If we do, that would be, right around December would be nice, early December to get that Santa Claus rally going. But I don't expect, I can even go out on a limb a little bit and say we might not see a rate hike at all in the next meeting because of what we saw in the PPI yesterday. So anyways, and as we look around the world, it's not just the U.S. The French inflation rate has all the way down to 5.7% right now. And a lot of that's fuel prices, yes. But at the same time, France.
Yep, seems like, Bill, you're cutting out a little bit there. But, yeah, with the inflation, even in here in Europe, you've had a good decent pullback from an inflation standpoint. I mean, you had for a while across the entire and all of Europe, you've had double digit inflation for months over months. Of course, the UK inflation still remains high. They're a bit of a more isolated animal now that with Brexit and everything else that's been piling up in their world, but. We've seen some decent core inflation numbers really across much of the developed economies of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And that cooling inflation is good for business. You know, that 30-year mortgage rate, I want to say in a quarter. Yeah, that's a lot for a lot of times, but of course.
Yep, and then from a consumer standpoint, we've had consumer sentiment edged higher in April, and we've had a little bit of a lighter retail sales number today. With I think retail sales were down 1%, but from a spending standpoint, that as we always talk about, that American consumer continues to drive not only the U.S. but drive the world economy. From that perspective, and from a pricing standpoint, you had, I think, export and import prices had a reduction in those prices. So much better inflation data out there, in the world. So We're excited about that, and that's leading kind of our thoughts on the Fed and where they're may be headed. But we're just getting started this morning. We'll get some Bill's technical difficulties taken care of. We'll be right back for the second segment of Best Stocks Now Show. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now Show with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson, president of Gunnarsson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. Custom management is what we do. And I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst. For me, the story of the day, okay, how would you like to bought something for $800 million in 1999 and sell it for $6 billion? Barry, we'd have to work out the compound annual growth on that investment. But that's exactly what the owner of the Washington Redskins did. The controversial owner of the Washington, not the Redskins, I'm sorry, it's the Commanders. In fact, yesterday, as we were going into the Dollywood theme park, I was on the tram, and, you know, people from everywhere are at a theme park, and the guy next to me was wearing an old Redskin hat. He's a Washington Redskins fan. And he said, shh, don't say Redskin. You can't say Redskin. I said, oh, I'm sorry. The Commanders. Well, anyways, Apollo Global Management. Hey, that's a stock that we own, APO, a group led by Josh Harris, the co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has agreed to terms on a deal to buy the NFL's Washington Commanders for $6 billion from controversial Dan Snyder, which surpasses the Denver Broncos deal last year. That was only a paltry $4.6 billion, Barry. I guess Washington, D.C., a bigger market overall. And, yeah. And I think FedEx Field, the actual stadium that they play at, is included in that deal. I believe their practice facility is included in that deal. So it's a pretty large one. My wife, her father's a big Washington Commanders fan. He doesn't call them the Commanders, but he's still a Commanders fan. I met Joe Theismann when I was at a sports banquet. I don't know, when I was maybe in third or fourth grade, and he actually told the story about getting his leg broken by Lawrence Taylor on the Monday Night Football game.
It was
interesting. Got to shake his hand, and he probably has one of the biggest hands that I've ever shook, and I can understand why he can spin the ball so well, because I'm sure that ball in his hand didn't seem very big. So
yeah, you know, that was always my problem. My hand wasn't big enough to handle that big fat football. So I ended up blocking for the quarterback, right?
Right.
Not throwing the ball, but protecting the quarterback. That's what I did in high school. The only Super Bowl I ever went to was in San Diego, and it was the Washington Redskins the year they won it. Doug Johnson, I think, was Doug Williams? Doug Johnson?
Or Doug Williams. Williams, yeah. Yeah, Doug Williams.
Yeah, he was the quarterback. And Denver, of course, that was probably not the Elway. Who was before Elway? Maybe it was the Elway era.
Yeah, it should have been. Yeah, because they actually lost. Yeah, because they lost a few times. Remember before actually him winning two in a row to close out his career in Denver.
And my father, it was in San Diego at the San Diego, which isn't there anymore. My father painted a giant billboard for the Super Bowl. And it was covered with like a million of those things that shake and glimmer and glitter. And it was on TV and everything. So that was pretty neat. Okay, Washington Redskins. Here's more good news. U.S. banks borrowing from Federal Reserve slides for the fourth straight. straight week. Well, the U.S. banks were borrowing money from the Fed just in case. Just in case of what? Well, in case of what happened at the Silicon Valley Bank, where there were more people requesting withdrawals than there were people depositing, and pretty soon you had a huge imbalance, and the bank had to close its doors and eventually declare bankruptcy because they couldn't handle it. U.S. government stepped in and told the depositors, you're all safe. They worked out a deal. I think it was that North Carolina bank that eventually ended up with Silicon Valley Bank. But you know what? It really, I think it changed the way people look at their banks, the way people feel about their banks. We saw a giant, in fact, gold almost hit a new record, all-time high yesterday. I think it's from the banking collapse there in San Francisco. I think it's made people think twice about their money in the bank. But it seems to be easing. That's the good news. And like you say, I think there's probably been a run of money out of the smaller regional banks into the Bank of America's, the J.P. Morgan's, the Citigroup's, the Wells Fargo, the Goldman Sachs, because we've seen some pretty good bank earnings here. But anyways, that borrowing from the Federal Reserve has eased. U.S. industrial production rises more than forecast in March. That's good. That's good news for the economy. Retail sales fall more than expected. I want to say that maybe the bank thing kind of made people a little bit nervous about going out and spending money. I don't know. But that retail sales report, it can really vary from time to time. What could be the next crisis? Well, you know, there's always crisis watch, and I stand on the watchtower every day looking out to see if I see anything coming. I don't think this would disrupt the world markets, but, you know, China has lent $1 trillion to developing nations, and a lot of these developing nations can't pay China back. Well, you know what happens when you can't pay someone back. They want something in return. And I think that puts China in a very strong position to wield even more influence worldwide, and especially in a lot of these developing nations. And let's not forget, a lot of these developing nations, Barry, have nickel and cobalt and copper and oil and lithium and all the other things that China needs for their big Belt and Road project that they've got going on. Gold rallied within $10, $10 of its all-time high. It says as economic worries mount, I'm not seeing those. Well, the worries, definitely. They're always there. They have mounted recently. There is watch for recession. We're on recession watch. But that's not happening yet. There doesn't seem to be any signs out there other than the Fed minutes. What did the Fed minutes say, Barry? Something about later this year?
Yeah, the Fed minutes, and it was, you know, of course you're taking in a lot of different opinions, but they sounding the alarm that they could see potential beginning of a recession towards the end of 2023. And, you know, we expect, you know, whether you have a soft landing, right, or a no landing situation, part of that involves at least statistically some type of recession, right? It just may not be a deep one.
Well, we're seeing a little bit of a sell-off here in the market as we go into the break. The Dow down 180, the Nasdaq down 63. Got a lot of stories for you on individual companies. We'll be sent back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Keith, the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Come
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you got J.P. Morgan right now up 7.2%. That's a huge move. You know, I looked at those banks. I said, there's got to be some good buys out there in the banks right now. A lot of them are trading in the 5 to 6 P.E. range. With J.P. Morgan's move today, it's up to a P.E. ratio of 9. That's a great chart on J.P. Morgan. Look, Jamie Dimon is the gold standard, right, area of CEOs in the banking industry. You look at all the problems they've had at Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and yet Jamie Dimon doesn't seem to ever have much in the way of scandals or issues or, you know, making bad bets, making bad investments. If anything, his guy Marko Kalanovic, his equity chief equity strategist, global equity strategist, seems to be wrong more often than right. And also, BlackRock's up 4% today. That's a private equity firm, so that's a good sign. On the downside today, I think what's got the market, the Dow, a little nervous here, Boeing. Boeing is down 6.6%. But, Barry, I see that as a temporary, you know, little bit of a clog in the supply chain there.
Yeah, it's a supply chain issue. Yeah, supply chain issue, which, you know, at this point, I would think that the market would be used to supply chain issues given you know, what supply chains have gone through since the pandemic. But, yeah, they're taking it going the opposite direction of J.P. Morgan today. And all the big banks came in with some, at least the ones that have reported so far, came in with some with better than expected earnings. So,
very good
earnings.
And I would say this is one of those examples of where, you know, one big mistake that a lot of investors make, and I've made it too, is focusing on one quarter, maybe one or two quarters. Like, you know, Boeing, this may impact this, the quarter that we're currently in, and maybe the next quarter. But if you ask me, would I be buying this pullback in Boeing? I would say yes, I would be buying, because I think it's a temporary glitch. You know, if it was a 737 crash, no, I wouldn't be buying that one. But a little glitch with some parts, the parts issue, I don't think that's a big deal. Okay, the fossil fuel.
Well, their backlog, just look at their backlog. I mean, that's your source, right, of future earnings, and their backlog is pretty strong at this particular moment.
Yeah, I probably got 10 guys in my church that work for Boeing in South Carolina, so I have a pretty good feel for how busy they are at the current time. Okay, oil. We got to talk about oil, because if there's something that's going to take a bite out of the economy, you know, you got to worry about all the companies that use a lot of fossil fuels. Well, ConocoPhillips, they're the ones that got the okay to drill up in Alaska from the Biden administration. However, the CEO says that President Biden is still no friend of fossil fuels. Well, that shouldn't surprise anybody. He told that to the Financial Times Thursday, even after recently approving the company's big Willow oil project in Alaska. He says that was not a signal. It's an $8 billion project, but he says, this is the CEO of Conoco, that was not a signal that the Biden administration had come around on oil and gas. Instead, the White House had little choice, as a rejection would have triggered massive lawsuits. He says the Biden administration remains the same. They're trying to transition faster away from fossil fuels, and everything they're trying to do is driving that from a policy point of view. Well, I can just give you an update on the, you know, the charging situation. We did bring our electric car here to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which is a pretty big tourist area. You know, it's got the big theme park, and it's got a lot of other things for tourists. And, you know, they're few and far between, the charging stations. I just have to say, if I didn't have a charger at home, I would never get an electric car. And when we do stop, we had to stop once. We stopped in Columbia, South Carolina at a Walmart where there's four chargers. There were two other people there out of the four, so we were the third. I see issues, number one, a lot of times the chargers don't work. It's not like put in your credit card and start charging. No, you got to download apps. You got to have a different app for ChargePoint. You got to have a different app for EVgo. You got to have a different app for Electrify America. It's kind of a hassle, really. And everybody that I've talked to at a charging station, which we don't go to very often because we charge at home, we don't make long trips, everybody says we hate it. I walk around, I talk to people, and people are so frustrated and so angry, you know, at how difficult it is to navigate and find the fuel charging stations. And, you know, the thing you got to remember is some of these charging stations, they're trickle chargers. Okay, if you're going to be at a hotel overnight, you can take a trickle charger because they charge really slow. You're talking 12 hours to charge your battery. Now, the ones we go to, the charge points, yeah, it's an hour. It's a one-hour wait, which is kind of a pain. But like I say, we don't use our car on long trips that much. We did this time. And here in Pigeon Forge, you know, the nearest charger from our hotel, it's 10 miles away. So there you go. There's my 2 cents. There's my 3 cents. There's my 4 cents.
And how much is it for a charge, out of curiosity, Bill?
About $20. Now, if you can find an Electrify America, which Mercedes-Benz has made a deal with, you get free charging for like 1 year, okay? But the Electrify Americas are few and far between. You got to go with the one that's nearby. Yeah. Now, they have one here at the hotel, but it doesn't fit. You know, there's two kinds of fittings. We don't have a standardized fitting yet. Tesla has their own. And most of these ones at the hotels have Tesla connections. So you have to buy a converter, which I left at home by mistake, to use the charger at the hotel, which a lot of hotels, not a lot. I mean, maybe 1 in 100 have a charger. So I'm just giving you some thought, food for thought, before you go out and buy an electric vehicle. Tesla obviously is way ahead of everybody else. Okay, Amazon had a really good day yesterday. I'm going to check on it today. The CEO was talking about their big business is not delivering stuff to your door. It's their web services, AWS, right? Or what do you call that? Where they have all of the data and everything.
Data warehouse. Yeah, the data warehouse, yeah. Amazon Web Services, which is a huge business for them, huge. Big business for source of growth for Microsoft and Apple, all three of them.
So, yeah, Amazon had a really nice day after his comments yesterday. The CEO is pulling back a little bit. Here's another good sign for the global economy. Copper touches a 7-week high as dollar slumps and stockpiles tighten. Well, you know, copper is a very good indicator of the global economy. It's a barometer. And if you look at a chart of Freeport-McMoRan, FCX, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's up about 25% in the last 4 weeks or so. Okay, we've got, I warned about these office REITs. WeWork, which was an idea. The kid made a lot of money with this idea of sharing office space, but kind of a flop. I call it the office flop house. I've seen a few of them. I've been in a few of them where they all share office space and a little kitchen, and some of them have beanbag chairs and stuff to sit in and flop around in. Well, WeWork is defaulting on a $240 million loan for a San Francisco office building. which is right down there on California Street. I've been there many times. That's the financial district. And WeWork is defaulting on a loan there. I think you're going to see an unraveling, really, of the office REITs. And let's not forget, there's a lot of regional banks that have exposure to those office buildings and downtown locations that are basically sitting vacant, other than a few beanbag chairs, and a little wet bar. That's about it. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. A lot of people on Easter break this week. That seems to be kind of the height of it. We've had Barry in Greece, reporting from Greece, and I'm in an even a more exotic place the last few days. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, Barry. You get the Greek Isles.
I know.
I'm handling the Smoky Mountains right now where the reception's a little dicey here on the cell phone. I hope everything's coming through okay. All right. Well,
yeah, I know it well. At least if you run out of electricity on your car, you should be able to roll down the hill at least about halfway back to South Carolina.
It's mostly downhill from here. Okay, well, we got a little sell-off after a big day in the market yesterday. I don't know why. I mean, you've got good earnings coming in on the – it's got to be the retail sales. That's all I can say. They came in a little softer than expected. And you know the old adage, the consumer drives the economy. And, there's a lot of hot money that trades on every single news item that comes out of the market. That's why I like to focus on annual earnings. I mean, there's three numbers that I'm most interested in. That's earnings estimates for 2023 for the S&P 500, earnings estimates for 2024 for the S&P 500, and what kind of multiple I'm going to choose on those earnings, which is based on the Fed and the direction that they're going with interest rates. For me, all the other noise, it's important noise because it can impact those things, but for the most part, there's a lot of noise on a daily basis that, the nervous Nellies react to continually. I try to look past that, try to take some emotion out of the market. Okay, as we look at the Dow today, it's kind of interesting because I think we had really good news basically on the Dow today. Consider that J.P. Morgan is up 7.6% today. Now, remember, it was just 3 or 4 weeks ago when the banks were in the spotlight, not in a positive way, in a negative way, and J.P. Morgan went clear down to $34.88 per share. Today, wait a minute, I'm looking at the wrong stock there. Let me get J.P. Morgan up. J.P. Morgan recently, it didn't sell off as much as the others. Some of the banks went down 50%. J.P. Morgan went from 144 to 123, about a 15% sell-off. And then I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, I said, those banks are building a bottoming formation. And that's exactly what J.P. Morgan did for about 6 weeks. And then the big jolt higher today on 7 times normal volume. That's really good action in J.P. Morgan. And Goldman Sachs is the second biggest winner in the Dow. It's up 1.3% now. What's really dragging on the Dow today is Boeing. And I don't see any issue there other than a temporary setback on a parts issue. It has traded big volume. It's down 6.2% right now, holding $200. That seems to be a support level. It's traded 8 times normal volume. So not only do you have hot money in the indexes, I think a lot of it, too, is computer program trading. If the retail, they can set almost any kind of parameters they want. If the retail sales numbers come in less than this number, sell all of our S&P 500 futures or whatever the case may be. And this goes back and forth. A lot of the gyrations in the market are on the surface of the market. That's why I always like to go underneath the market and look what's underneath it. And I see Boeing sitting at $200, which is kind of its support level. It's been as high as 221 recently. And I see a little bit of buying coming into the sell-off in Boeing. The other one that's dragging down the Dow a little bit, United Healthcare, which also reported today, that's a big healthcare company, representative of the healthcare sector in the market. It's down 2.6% today. Now, as we go to the S&P 500, the winner again, J.P. Morgan, up 7.3%. BlackRock is the company everybody, you know, their symbol should be ESG because they seem to be the leaders in ESG. You either love them or hate them. BlackRock is up 3.3% today. Citigroup is up 2.9%. Bank of America, wow, big day for the banks. And to some extent, there's a little bit of strength in the energy sector, the oil stock. Schlumberger, one of our favorites, is up 2% today. Now, as I look at the downside of the S&P 500, what's dragging it down the most today? Boeing, once again, down 6.2%. And then ServiceNow, I don't know what is up with them. There might be a downgrade. That's what I'm guessing, an analyst downgrade. It's down 5% right now. And for whatever reason.
I was
reason,
looking for some news on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking for some news on that, Bill. And I don't actually, I haven't seen anything anything that gives me any reason or any particular reason for the for the drop. But, yeah, so they're down right about 5% today. Still seems like it's on fairly light volume, so hopefully not just a blip on the chart. Hopefully versus from a volume standpoint, not very high.
It looks like a healthy pullback to me, and this stock has actually been forming a really nice chart. It almost broke out yesterday. And now there's a little pullback today. It's down 5%, but to me it looks pretty healthy. And then the other one that's kind of surprising on the downside, Newmont Mining, which is a big gold miner, probably the blue chip of gold miners. I don't know. Gold is pretty volatile. It's down 4.7%. And then last but not least, let's look at the NASDAQ real quick before we got to go. The winner in the NASDAQ today is, let's see here, it's probably some kind of non-tech stock. Yeah, J.B. Hunt Transport, okay, a trucking company. So that's your day in the market. I'll be doing the newsletter tomorrow, getting it out later in the afternoon, GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks. And if you'd like to talk to us about custom money management, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.